Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republic of the United States of America. I want to thank you for coming tonight. So many of you have been such loyal members of the Republic and our call on Monday nights. We've been doing this for a little over 11 years now, and some people have been here the entire time. Those of you that joined lately have joined us. Once upon a time, we got up to, I think it was 574 people on a call at one particular call. It crashed pre-conferencing all over the United States, and the Lord says, cut it back to those that want to be here. Don't invite anybody else at this time. And we ended up averaging about 34 people for quite a while. It was regional coordinators. And now it's become those that want to be here. The Lord says, train up the bride. So we try to bring a prophetic message to those that might be in denominational churches or don't go to a church. This becomes part of the ministry they're involved in. But almost everybody that I see in here right now are spirit-filled Christians that are seeking the Lord and want to have fresh fire. So we're going to talk about some fresh fire right now. Many of you know, as a matter of fact, I don't know anybody that doesn't know this. We're in some of the darkest nights and times and seasons that we've had in modern times. Wickedness is beyond imagination. Take a look at 45, Donald Trump. He gets fined 345, million dollars or whatever it was, for the way he did business in New York, but he met all of his goals, paid back all the money with all the interest, and prospered after that. Nobody lost any money, yet they'll let somebody in a Ponzi scheme go. It's all political. Nothing but politics on that. Corrupt judges, corrupt juries, being in the wrong place and only in certain states. And they barred him from doing business in New York for 3 years. Are you supposed to shut down the Trump hotels? Are you supposed to shut down the other businesses he owns? Or is it just a new business? It's crazy. So sometimes every one of us feel like that, that the enemy's come against us and taking everything that we have and just harassing us because he can. But most people don't have the funds to be able to battle. I remember when my wife and I lost our business to eminent domain with the state of Texas. They were going to put a ramp through the middle of our 22,000 square foot store. You took the exit, and we were right at the exit. I mean, going to the busiest shopping center in mid United States, which is the Galleria. And we fought them all the way to Supreme Court, but it cost a lot of money. And most people wouldn't be able to fight. And finally, they did what they planned. They beat us out because the family said, we can't spend any more money. So we feel like we've been mistreated. We've been stolen from. We've been lied to. Sometimes those that we're in love with just turn against us or have all kinds of problems. The enemy of our soul makes us think that, we've done too much and it's never going to amount to anything, that nobody cares. We're not important. Nobody keeps in touch with us. And people have gotten ultimately mega busy by the enemy coming involved and doing busy work. And so great of an attack that it's become, people can't understand why God hadn't intervened. Well, God has intervened. The biggest issue is we've got to pay attention. And we're going to talk about some of the things today and tonight that have to be done to be able to get back on track. Romans 8:38-39 says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels, so if angels can't affect you, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, our Lord Christ Yeshua. Well, we look at all the attacks. We look at all the false flags. We look at the wickedness. And we were talking on a pre-call here about the wickedness that's around the world. And it is everywhere. And you can tell just in those that do prayer. Dutch Sheets, I like Dutch when I first met him, and I'd meet him many, many times. He would come to Glory Design once a month for our conferences for years, and then doesn't come as often because of the work he's doing. And he headed up the YWAM out of the Dallas area, so, sending out missionaries worldwide. Dutch was sharp, really incredibly sharp. But I told people that would come as guests, and I said this to Matt and John, I said, when you meet him, somebody asked me, it was Fred Mosley, who publishes an encounter on a regular basis. He said, what's Dutch like? I said, let me tell you this. If you saw him walking towards you down the street, you would cross the street. I said, that guy's got the meanest look on him I've ever seen. And finally, we come to find out. You look at him now, he looks totally different. He had a bad back, and he was in so much pain that he was grimacing with every step. So I prejudged him, and I had to repent. I said, oh, Lord, it's bad enough that the world is judging us, and I'm prejudging those that are in the body. And I'm a pastor. You know, I've been judged. You know, I've been accused of everything short of shooting the Pope, and, you know, probably along the way, if I had a chance, I might have, because of his wickedness. But Dutch brings out, and he's in our calendar, every day except Sundays, Saturdays and Sundays, actually, he produces what's called Giving 15. And if you get the opportunity, I want you to go to giving15.org and read what he's doing, our Dutch sheets. And every day, it's so powerful about what's going on, what God's saying, and prophetic word. To give you an example, he went from 2 million followers to 32 million followers this year. That ought to give you an idea. And his prayers are outstanding. You know, I use them often. Also, the many different people that are in the calendar. And we have 12 homegrown writers now that bring a word in, powerful word, that can make a difference in your life. And we wanted to be able to give the opportunity to people to minister, so we do it on Monday nights. And tonight, one of those who's become an excellent writer, he already was a writer of books, Michael Suttlesworth, would be doing this call tonight, but we're going to pray for him. Kidney stones have got him down in bed. Another one, and this goes back to prejudging. A lot of us don't like certain Christian leaders because we feel they've compromised or they said this or done that. Well, I'll be honest with you, every one of us, self-included, have been accused of doing things that we're not guilty of, and sometimes it's misconstrued, and other times we actually did things wrong. Don't judge us. God's willing to forgive us. Give them an opportunity also. Pay attention. And one of those is Amanda Grace. I actually said something to Amanda Grace producer at an event in East Texas where I was one of the guests and speakers. And I said, I've got some issues with Amanda. She discovered witches in her ministry. And her husband had actually hired this witch and warlock into their ministry. And it was discovered and had to be rooted out. Does that mean Amanda does everything right? No, she didn't do everything right. Screen process maybe should have caught it. Spirit should have caught it. But she still comes out with incredible, powerful word, and God's using her. So remember, the gifts are, you know, they're, once you're given a gift, God will use you, even to your own detriment. But this is the word tonight I want you to pay attention to. It says, come to me, all you are heavy and laden, burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take upon yourself my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Matthew 11:20-30. Most of us have experienced at some time or another, and I just went through a bout this past week myself where I had to cut back on some of the ministry and other work I was doing because I was just exhausted. Many people are battle-weary and exhausted. It can happen to any of us. And when we get that way, we don't hear clearly. The enemy can come in and cause all kinds of grief, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, when we let our guard down, when we get worn out, when we get sick. So we have to pray for one another. We have to lift each other up. But what the Lord was saying, that we're in a moment of time where everything that we've been trained, our entire life experiences, our values in Christ, all of our actions can seem like they drift away from us, and we can be taken to our knees throughout the nations, throughout communities, in our homes, in churches. Foolishness is just abounding, stupidity and wickedness. Today, a report came out from a whistleblower CIA agent, and it was exposed and brought out on the news all over Europe and in parts of the United States that would listen to the real news about all the underground CIA bases in the Ukraine, the weapons labs, the bio labs, all the wickedness, and how this U.S., how our current government has been supporting the war against Russia. So we've taken on Russia as in battle with Russia through a surrogate, through Ukraine, when we're trying to cover up our wickedness from the government and those leaders. Sale of children, human trafficking, child molestation, all these things. And Lord said, you know, it's collapsing upon the nations. It's collapsing upon the people and ourselves. And we have to trust the Lord with all our heart and lean out on our understanding and acknowledge Him. And He's going to make our way straight. But to do so, we have to get into a place of rest. And we have to have incredible discernment. And that's something that we have not had as a people. We've not had really good discernment. Second Chronicles is one of my favorite books. And Second Chronicles 20:20 is something this ministry is based on. But 20:17 says this: do not be afraid nor discouraged. Go out and face them, which is talking about the enemy, tomorrow, and I'll be with you. If you're feeling the pressure today, I guarantee that you are a target because of your heart and your determination to be Christ-like. Yeah, what a powerful thought. The enemy's after us, not because of what we've done in sin, but because what we've done is right. So when you're under attack, the enemy's trying to tear you and your family down, tear the government down, tear the nation down because of that which is the destiny that we have. And he's saying, you know, right now, we're going to have to press through. We're going to have the wisdom to be able to walk in a place that we haven't walked before, recognizing good and evil and taking a stand. In Dutch's word, that I didn't go into it, which is a little earlier, he talks about the United States church being asleep. And if the church doesn't wake up, we're going to be just like Nazi Germany. We're going to be just like Europe. And they're at that point already. When we look at the ecclesia, which is actually the governing body, which was the chosen ones, the church, we're supposed to be in those political offices, as you know, in the Republic, and we're supposed to be doing the works that bring the nation to the right place for its people. So when we make decrees and declarations, we decree that the changes in the hearts of the people will be heard again to embrace God's word, way, and will, that we will overcome. And at the same time, we said, dear Lord, help us, help us. You know, let mercy and grace be upon us. Fill my family, my sons, my daughters, my grandchildren, my brothers and my sisters, those that I work with, those that I minister with, those that I pray with your Holy Spirit, that it will overflow through their lives. And Lord, impart to us your way, your will. For you said in 2 Corinthians that your grace is sufficient, your power is made perfect in our weakness. Well, right now we're pretty weak. As a body, as those called to be the bride, I wonder how many of us have enough oil to be able to walk down that path to get to the bridal chamber. I don't want to be one of those rejected. Doesn't mean you're not going to make it in heaven. It means that you didn't make it into the time and season that you're supposed to be into. Now, I get blessed with a group of us that are on this call and many others, and that we get to call out to the Lord in certain times of prayer. And many of you know that we're on calls all the time. Zoom meetings, prayer calls, just seeking the Lord, trying to get to the place where we can see, hear, know, and understand what He's saying and why He's saying it. And we had I had a wonderful opportunity this weekend in prayer in an open vision where an angel was literally taking us into the mountain of the Lord. And I'm kind of quite inquisitive, and I said to the angel, where are we going and literally why? What is the Lord going to show us? And I actually didn't expect the angel to give me an answer, but he said something to me which was very profound. He said, it's not about your destination. Your destination is assured. I went, really? He says, it's about your journey. For in your journey and what you go through and what you overcome, you are set free. You're made complete. You're cleaned, washed. I went, wow. So as we got to the point where we were supposed to be, revelation came, and it was the Lord. And the Holy Spirit said something to me. And I said, Lord, the light around us shifted, naturally because of your presence, but the light around us shifted. And I said, what are you saying? What are you saying to me? And he says, no longer be a reflection of my light. And I'm sitting there going, uh-oh, have I done something wrong? Do I need to get before on my face and seek after you? And he said, no. He says, now I want you to be the light of my glory. He says, reflecting my light is one thing. Be my light is a whole nother. So he's calling out for his children, his sons and daughters, to literally no longer reflect him, but let them see him in you. And that's going to take some gifts that maybe we need. And that's one of them is a gift of discernment. As I said earlier, Michael Shuttlesworth couldn't be here tonight. But I told him I tried my best not to mess up his word, but I want to bring it to you the best I can. You know, a lot of people don't understand. They think that, you know, they question, was I born with any discernment, any spiritual gifts? Because my wife would often say, I don't know what spiritual gifts I have. I said, you have a great discernment. I said, why do you think I take you on business appointments to meet people? You have incredible discernment about people. The question, I think, for some of us is to try to understand, because the Bible talks about discernment many times, and we're advised to pray for discernment or wisdom. Now, wisdom and discernment actually run together, but they're not totally the same thing. Wisdom is knowing how to do something. Discernment is recognizing that something needs to be done. He says, therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people. This was Solomon. That I may discern between good and evil. Discernment, wisdom to judge. For who is able to judge these great people of yours? So what is discernment? The definition is this. It's the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure. Insight, perceptiveness. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To another gifts of healing, to another miscellaneous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits. And these are the work of one same Spirit that gives them to each one as he determines. Okay, well, in this verse, the Bible talks about saying the gift of discernment is a Spirit-given ability to distinguish good and evil. The gift was mentioned in the New Testament, but the nature of the gift is not explained. So mostly believed by Christians that it was literally a special gift set aside for whoever prophesied, who could walk and see or hear and talk about, you know, and understand evil spirits. But the Bible says that's Satan's deception. Many could actually have the gift or ability at birth. Or is it only given to Christians who follow his ways and pray in the Holy Spirit for this gift? I'm asking the question because I believe since I was in my early teens, I've seen things or understood things that others could not. During my early years, I did not think of much and never really thought about the gift from God. It was just something that was automatic. I was a seer from a very young age, but I basically was what the psychics would call a sensitive. And on many occasions, I would know things. And as I grew before I came to the Lord, I used those in business and other ways to advance myself because I had a great gift of discernment and I could see the future in some ways. But I believe that gift of discernment is not necessarily to see what the enemy is doing, but to see what the Spirit of God is doing. Discerning what the enemy is doing shouldn't be any big deal. It should be so obvious. But I think of those gifts of spiritual discernment, having sense and to be attuned to the spiritual world, because we live in a natural and spiritual world at the same time. Many of you know that we've talked over this last year, it was January a year ago, that the first time it came out, that heaven and earth had collided and that the worlds are in the same place at the same time. And Apostle Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, he says, to practice the gift, do not quench the spirit, test all things, hold fast what is good. So that the gift can be, it must be used, test it consistently, constantly, to improve your ability to determine between what is good and evil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, a little different translation than what I'm used to, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places, Ephesians 6:12. So, you know, my battle is not against you or anybody else. My battle is against the enemy. But I have to discern what is the background. So when we do counseling, we often go for what's the root cause? What is the enemy that is causing the attack that's bringing about such grief in somebody's family and their business and their ministry? So a sign of that gift is discernment that you feel different from any other people really, I mean, you feel sometimes like you're a little weird because you know something, word of knowledge, word of understanding. And often it's felt or misunderstood because we think of it as being psychic. It's not, not at all. There are unusual gifts, dreams, or sensations that we can all have. And sometimes he'll talk to you at night. Sometimes he'll talk to you in the day while things are going on. But the gift of discernment is major. Like I said, often as men, our wives have better discernment than we do, particularly in dealing with people, because we want to go out and get things done. We might be the one that's going home in charges, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about discernment of the spirit. Now, I can name off four or five people right here that have that. You know, Sharon has that. She's also a seer, and Steve has it, and Bruce and Linda, and, you know, President Turner here, he's got it, you know. So many of us here have that ability. Robert, Mark, you know, I guess almost everybody here have the ability for discernment, but it's so important right now, more than any other season that we've been in our lives, is to be able to see and sense things that others cannot, because we need to be able to understand what the Lord is saying. We need to be able to see what he's doing in a situation more so than what the enemy's doing. Like I said, the enemy's, what he's doing should be obvious. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But God is saying, I've come to bring life and life abundant. In Mark 9:25, when Yeshua saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and not enter him anymore. Well, why did he do it quickly? Because he didn't want them to get all excited about this. He wanted that enemy to leave and trouble him no more. Well, when we deal with a spiritual problem, we make sure that it doesn't trouble anybody. We try to send them to the abyss. I used to send them to high and dry places. Well, I tell you what, all you got to be is at the second story in that building, and you might have a problem because you send them to high and dry places. You know, those folks could be a real problem. I had a minister come downstairs from a second story and said, who just sent a demon to a high and dry place? And I said, I did. And he says, don't ever do that again. He went up there and tried to choke me to death. And I said, well, forgive me. I was overseas. And Steve can tell you, you know, you can get in some real hairy things in different countries. You know, so with this, I'm saying the gift of discernment, it can be given at birth, but it's not always given at birth. So don't be afraid if you don't have it. Ask the Lord. When Solomon asked the Lord for discernment, God gave it to him. When he asked him for wisdom, God gave it to him. Plus, he gave him everything else that went with it. So 1 Timothy 4:1 says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons because they do not have any discernment. So finally, my message to you to pray and seek the Lord for the gift of discernment as well as wisdom. I quit asking for patience because you get tried. With wisdom, you are going to run into situations that's going to challenge you mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. The same thing with discernment, because it's going to make you look deep. So when the Lord recently said to me, go deeper so you can come higher, he's saying that to every one of you. You got to know the difference, what is good and evil, and he's going to show you, but you're going to have to walk in the full armor of God. You're going to have to put up a good fight, and you're going to have to get to the point where you can discern good and evil and have the wisdom to do that which he's saying you should do. So, Father, I want to thank you. I bless you for that promise of your word and the hope that we have that we can easily obtain wisdom, discernment. You said, seek wisdom as a lover, literally, as a bride. Seek after it. Well, we need to do the same thing with discernment and understanding, that we could see, hear, and understand and know what you're doing, that we can walk in a place of fulfillment to accomplish your destiny purposes for our lives and help others along the way. Because right now, more than ever, the younger generation particularly is suffering greatly from lack of discernment, being deceived by the enemy, which has come into our school systems because they've been allowed in, which has come into our government, come into our churches, come into every area of our lives, every arena. And Lord, you said that we can have the discernment to rebuke the enemy. The Lord rebuke them, and we can take on that which you give us the authority to do so. So Lord, we've been given all authority, all power. We need to have wisdom to ask you what you want to do with them, how you want to deal with it, and then deal with them. But right now, if we do not become proactive, the nation is going to fall, the churches are going to fall, and families are going to be destroyed. because we lack the wisdom and discernment. So, Father, give us those things by glory to everyone here and everyone that has an ear. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Give a shout back.
Glory, glory, glory. You know, Matt, I've talked enough about Matt, but he always, him and I, you know, we try to talk 2 or 3 times a week or more, and he's always got a powerful word. He's been a blessing on our minister's call on Wednesdays, and he's going to be a blessing to you tonight. Matt Freezer.
Thanks, Wade. You know, discernment is such a key. And, you know, when we think about all the things going on in the kingdom, our nation, the world, it's just, you know, what is it that the Lord wants us to do? And tonight I want to touch on the kingdom impact. You know, so many are looking for signs and miracles, and we all want to see the glory of the Lord. There's no doubt. But really, what is the impact? And how does the Lord want us to move in? You know, the Lord has really highlighted me that question because he wants us to look beyond just the events. So many things are going to happen in the near coming days and weeks, but he wants us to look at the big picture, what he's really doing. Bruce touched on it last week when he talked about past revivals and their impact and then what's going on currently. We can't afford to miss it. The youth, all the people that are going to see these things need to see it for what it is. And if we look back at the moment when Yeshua fed the 5,000, a lot of people missed it. In John 6, Jesus answered and said, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, you've been searching for me, not because you saw the miracles or signs, but because you were fed with the loaves and were filled and satisfied. You know, the people chased after that. They chased after what was their physical needs and the signs. And they chased after things rather than seeing what he was really trying to accomplish. So many were there to be healed or to see something. But what was the lasting impact? We know his ministry had a lasting impact, but for them individually. And we look at the world right now. I don't think it's really changed a lot. I mean, people can see something wonderful happen and go right back to the way they were before. Right now, we have people grumbling because of the oppression, the corruption, the evil. And I thought about it. Suppose several key leaders were removed from their positions right now and things suddenly started to get better. Would that be a lasting impact? Or just a temporary change in the mindsets of the masses? Would they just ride the wave of prosperity, filling their pockets and bellies? You know, if you read the book of Judges, we see that same pattern over and over repeatedly. You know, when Jesus started his ministry, he chose a different approach. His time was spent establishing the kingdom. It wasn't just a momentary blip on the radar or just a movement, but he marked time eternally. Even when he started to preach in Matthew 4, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And I wanted to share a quick testimony of a story that went far beyond the black and white that we read in the scriptures. Very famous, the woman at the well. We all know Jesus told her all about her life and the living water. And the woman left that meeting with Yeshua and went into the city and told everyone about Jesus and everything he did. You know, as a result, many in that city believed, and they believed the testimony. And many of the Samaritans came with him as he was urged to stay two more days in that town. It was all there because of his great impact and his vision. But there's more to the story. And I found this testimony on womensordinarycampaign.org. She was a very significant figure in the communities. She was a Samaritan woman that contributed very much to the spread of Christianity. She occupies a place of honor for what she did. One of the biographers told the story of her beginning where John left off. At Pentecost, her name, Fotini, who was the woman at the well, received baptism along with her five sisters, Anatoly, Photo, Fetus, Periskeva, and Kiriaki. They're all Greek names, and her two sons, Fotinius and Joseph. She then began her ministry career, traveling far and wide, preaching the good news of the Messiah's coming, his death and resurrection. When Nero, we know about Nero, the emperor of Rome, began to persecute the Christians, Fotinia and her son Joseph were in Carthage in Africa, where she was preaching the Christian gospel. After Jesus appeared to Fotinia in a dream, she sailed to Rome. Her son and many Christians from Africa accompanied her. Fotinia's arrival and activity aroused curiosity in the capital city of Rome. Everyone was talking about, who is this woman? She came here with a crowd of followers, and she preached Christ with great boldness. Soldiers were ordered to bring her to the emperor, but Fotinia anticipated them. Before they could arrest her, Fotinia and her son Joseph and her Christian friends went directly to Nero. Not sure I would do that. When the emperor saw them, he asked, why have they come? Fotinia answered, we have come to teach you to believe in Christ. Can you imagine the boldness of her faith, knowing she could be killed in an instant going to that particular ruler of Rome? You know, even the sight of that Roman Empire didn't frighten her. It didn't faze her a bit. She wanted to convert him. Nero asked the saints in their names. Again, Fotinia answered by the name. She introduced herself, her five sisters, and her younger son. The emperor then demanded to know whether they had all agreed to die for the Nazarene. Fotinia spoke to them, yes, for the love of him we rejoice, and in his name we would gladly die. Hearing their defiant words, Nero ordered their hands be beaten with iron rods for 3 hours. At the end of each hour, another persecutor took up the beatings. The woman and her son, however, felt no pain. Nothing happened to their hands. Fotinia joyfully quoted the Psalms of David, God is my help. No matter what anyone does to me, I shall not be afraid. Perplexed by the Christians' endurance and confidence, Nero ordered the men thrown into jail. Fotinia and her five sisters were brought to a golden reception hall in the imperial palace. There, the six women were seated on gold thrones. In front of them stood a large golden table covered with gold coins, jewels, and dresses. Nero hoped to tempt the women by this display of wealth and luxury. Nero then ordered his daughter, Domitia, with her slave girls to go speak with the Christian women. Women, he thought, would succeed in persuading the Christian sisters to deny their God. Domitia greeted Fotinia graciously, mentioning the name of Christ. On hearing the princess' greeting, the saint thanked God. She then embraced and kissed Domitia. The women talked, but the outcome of the woman's talk was not what Nero wished. Fotinia converted Domitia and her 100 slave girls and baptized them all. She gave the name Athusa to Nero's daughter. After her baptism, immediately ordered all the gold and jewels on the golden table distributed to the poor in Rome. When the emperor heard this, his own daughter had been converted to Christianity, he condemned Votinia and all her companions to death by fire. For 7 days, the furnace burned. When the door of the furnace was open, it was seen that the fire had not harmed the saints. Next, the emperor tried to destroy the saints with poison. Votinia offered to be the first to drink it. O king, she said, I will drink the poison first, that you might see the power of my Christ and God. All the saints then drank the poison after her. None suffered any ill effects from it. In vain, Nero subjected Votinia and her sisters, sons, and friends to every known torture. The saints survived unscathed, the taunt and ridicule their persecutor. For 3 years, they were held in Roman prison. Votinia transformed it into a house of God. Many Romans came to the prison, were converted, and baptized. Finally, the enraged tyrant had all the saints except Votinia beheaded. She was thrown first into a deep, dry well and then into prison again. Votinia now grieved that she was alone and she had not received the crown of martyrdom together with her 5 sisters and her 2 sons. Votinia, that night, she just prayed and prayed for the release from this life. One night, as God appeared to her in a vision, filled her with joy. And many days later, when she sang and blessed God, Votinia gave her soul into God's hand. Amazing story. You know, this Samaritan woman conversed with Christ by the well of Jacob. She drank the living water and gained everlasting life and glory for generation after generation. It's so inspiring to look back and read about the saints of old. Amazing things happened to all of them, and they did things for the kingdom. But it's just the same as what's right in front of us. We're approaching a great conflict in history of mankind where darkness is challenging the light. Just as Wade said, we are to become that light. We are to be encouraged to carry that light and proclaim the liberty for the captive. And I read this story because something really struck me about all of this. The words generation after generation. You see, that is a mark in time that is eternal. That is what Yeshua does. He takes that which has been corrupted by sin and marks it and redeems it by his eternal mark, which is outside time. It transcends that which is lost and transcends that of generations. As Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. What we engage with now must carry that same mark on it, or it'll just be another moment in time, here and gone. You know, as Bruce shared about the revivals of the past, we can see the impact. And we can see things like the church in North Georgia just growing and growing. We can see the ministry, like Dutch Sheets, just growing in millions and millions of people. On the surface, we can see amazing things happen. So many things are shifting right now, even as we all press into the Lord. He's shifting us and preparing us to have a kingdom impact. But it's how we align that will determine the vastness of that impact. You know, Yeshua did something very interesting when he spent time with his Father. He did that to make sure that he was in the perfect will each and every time he went out that next day to minister to those in need. He wanted to make sure he was lined up with the perfect will. This particular day, he had sent his disciples ahead into Samaria. while he waited at that well, because the Lord had something for him to do. He set up his divine appointment with the woman that not only changed that small community, but it went to different parts of the world, Africa, and eventually to the world government at the time, Rome. And the person he chose, he already knew in his heart, would have enough faith, would have enough boldness to go and do whatever the Lord asked. In fact, it had such an impact that it converted the hearts of Nero's children and the slaves, and it changed an eternal mark in that kingdom. Of course, it made Nero mad, and of course, there was a greater battle. Much like what's before us right now, he's marking eternal time. And he's affecting generations. So, you know, when we go to pray before the Lord, we need to have his vision. That comes back to what Wade was talking about, discernment. Yeshua himself gave us a picture of that in Matthew 24. When he talked about learning the lesson from the fig tree, he says, when its branches become tender and sprout leaves, you know summer is near. It's a physical sign. So also when you see these things, you know that he is near, right at the door. That's our Lord. Truly I tell you, this generation, or as I like to say, generations will not pass away until these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words and what he has set out to accomplish will never pass away. He'll always find a place for those words to land. All we have to do is receive them and to walk them out. His words are eternal, and they come and accomplish their mission. Verse 36 says, no one knows the day or the hour, even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. You know, we have to be very intentional about how we walk this. It's his timeline. We need to stop chasing other who claim to have a bead on it. We need to learn to just flow in that spirit, allow him to guide us through every step and through every changing landscape. The landscape in front of us is changing very quickly and rapidly in this nation and all over the world. 37 says, as in the days of Noah, one of my favorite scriptures, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. We need to buckle up. It was certainly not easy for the earth during that time frame. And he's telling us, don't be surprised by the condition of humanity or the things that we'll face. But do not fear, for I am with you. Because you and I are here to bring his eternal word to pass. We're here to help usher in the kingdom of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. His mission hasn't changed. It's just traveled through the timeline of humanity to this point we're on. And we are his chosen vessels for this time. We just need to give it a place to rest. You know, it's interesting, even when John the Baptist was finished preaching and put in jail, he was beheaded. You know, the head represents the government. The ecclesia is his government. And he's always looking for a place to rest his government. That's us, the body. Each one of us has a role to make up that corporate body. And his head is coming to rest in this time. Lord, we thank you for your great mission. We thank you for hearts that seek you. as your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. That's the true discernment, Lord. It's getting in that quiet place and following your lead. It's understanding that we are part of a greater big picture of your great mission on earth, the restoration of things. Lord, let us not get hung up on one thing or another, or chase after one passion or another. Let us totally be open to receive that which you have each and every day, so that we may fully engage with it, and we may bring honor to your name and glory. And we may see all those that you put in our path touched by your great love. Lord, when you came here on the earth, you didn't come here with a sword. You came here to change the mindsets of the political, the religious, and you preach kingdom. Once again, we're caught in the crosshairs of a great conflict all around the world right now. Lord, may we reflect that same calling, that clarion call of you that will change from the inside out. Lord, we just want to give you the glory, honor, and praise for all these men and women that come faithfully each and every week and continue to press into you. And we just thank you, Lord, for who you are, and give you all the glory in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Powerful. You know, Matt said something right up front, and I had it sitting over here to the side, and I wanted to be part of what I did, and I was going to do it at the very end, but now is the time. He was talking about Matthew 4, about repentance. Okay. Many of you know that a major eclipse is coming up soon. And those eclipses, and Matt, have you read what letters, it forms certain Hebrew letter. I don't know if that's Vav or what it is across the United States. You know, did you read that?
It's the Aleph Tav is what it is.
Okay. Here's what's interesting, folks. The eclipse is coming from the southwest going north. And the first town that it crosses of any significance in Texas is Jonah, Texas. The next one it crossed is Nineveh, Texas. And it keeps on going up across Arkansas and the corner of Tennessee, and it hits Little Egypt, Illinois, and then Nineveh, Indiana, Nineveh, Ohio, Nineveh, Pennsylvania, Nineveh, New York, and Nineveh, Nova Scotia. Do you think he's telling us something? Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. What a powerful message, Matt. Thank you so much. John is going to bless us. He's got a word. He's got some music. And we're going to have some prayer in a little bit. And he's going to do communion to seal all this that he's got and what Matt and I brought. So, John Rockwell.
Well, thanks, Wade, and good evening, everybody. Glad that you're all here. Do things a little bit different tonight, but hey, that's the way it works sometimes. But I'm going to split up what I'm going to say with a piece of music, and I'll explain that in just a minute. But could do some words that will kind of encourage you in the beginning, and then I'll come to the music as well. But we need to get back to the beginning. That's kind of what both Wade and Matt have been talking about, and we need to be called to action instead of distraction. And one thing that I've been looking at on and off the past several months is Melchizedek, and there was a word that came out today about Melchizedek, his blessing. And Melchizedek was the king of Salem and the priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. The first name of Melchizedek means king of righteousness, then also king of Salem, and it also means king of peace, and that's out of Hebrews 7, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord is inviting his people to go deeper into the place, which is kind of what Wade has talked about, in the place of worship with him and their expectations. He's asking his people, do your expectations bring glory to me and worship me? The invitation of the Lord right now is to come up higher. And we've been talking about that over the past several weeks, about coming up higher. And the piece of music that I've chosen for tonight, I wrote 30 plus years ago, and it kind of fits this evening. It's a piece that's entitled Soaring, but again, I'm going back and taking some old music of mine and other people that asked these certain pieces, or one that I come up with, and converting it from the 440 frequency, hertz frequency, to the 444 hertz frequency. And that's what I did with the piece tonight entitled Soaring.
Thank you.
the next piece that I want to bring tonight is something that I've been studying for a little while, and I would encourage you to research as well, but look and understand what the Hebrew living letters are. There are several books that I've gotten over the past several months that talk about what they are, and what I want to do, I'm going to take three of the 22 letters and talk about them briefly tonight, but one that we're all familiar with, and I know Matt and I think Wade as well, like Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Yud, however you want to pronounce the first part of it, but the first part of his name, the Yud, is a dot, and it can represent an atom, a spark of Ruha, Jehovah. In every letter is in everything. It's a dot or an atom. Yud is the smallest letter of the alphabet. It's like an atom of the letters. The spark of Ruach, Ruach, Jehovah, in early ancient Semitic Hebrew is Yud. And it's a representation of an arm or a hand. The Hebrew word Yod means hand or power, or and power. That's Strong's H 3027. Yud represents Jehovah dwelling with us as a strong hand and an outstretched arm, Psalms 136. It's Jehovah is traveling through the universe, the micro instant. Yud can be used as a prefix, meaning he will. This reminds us that Jehovah's will for our lives and his promises. In every letter of the Hebraic alphabet, is considered once the pen touches the paper, it's a Yud. In other words, it's just a dot. It's written there. Therefore, every letter starts with Yud. We conclude that every written word also starts with a pen on the paper. Therefore, our writing starts with some form of Yud. The Hebrew word means word and also things, also a thing. And that's Strong's H1697. Every word and thing contains some form of Yud. The next letter I'm going to go through tonight is He. As soon as I turn to that real quick here. And the He for me is an exciting letter because it's breath. And the breath of Jehovah in me, breathing in and out. He has the sound of H, which is breathing out. It's written He. The form of two vavs, similar to a dalet, and unattached yud. And there's the yud again. It's important that we have an opening, otherwise the letter would look like a het. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly or not. The opening represents the breath in and out. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul, Genesis 2:7. I desire to breathe everything Jehovah has for me, all his word and his breath and his word to those in need. The late ancient Semitic Hebrew He is closed, but the top line looks like the flowing wind. And then the last letter, living letter that I'm going to go over tonight is the, is the Vav, which again is a connecting pen, and it's part of his name as well. The Vav is one of my favorite letters. It's ascending and a descending letter. Vav connects the letters between heaven and earth, which again, we were talking about that tonight as the spirit and matter. This joining letter is in the transmigration of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is our Father. And Father, as we remember you tonight and your Son as well, as we again think about him and again what the name means and your name means, want to bless you tonight, but we also want to remember your Son gave the ultimate sacrifice for us, dying on the cross, shedding his blood. Again, Wade talked about the blood earlier today, but that blood, it cleanses us from all the sins that we have and the sins of the world if they choose to accept that particular gift that you have given mankind. and also his broken body, that it was, you know, torn up beyond any imagination. He didn't even look like a man. He was just, you know, beaten to a pulp. But he did that for us to make us whole and to give us right relationship in you. So we just thank you for the broken body of Yeshua and his shed blood that forgives us from our sins. So go ahead and partake of his broken body and his shed blood. I'll go ahead and kick it back to you.
Wow, powerful. Thank you so much. Everybody's going to have a great benefit from taking the time to study the Hebrew letters, something John has embarked upon, and they're living, their life. Everything in heaven is alive. The rocks, the soil, the trees, the flowers, everything in life. Even letters and our words. I want to give a couple commercials, and then we're going to do a little bit of praying here. And it's very important. Gene and David Hertler just come out with their newest book, and I want everybody to get a copy of it. Jim Carpenter can give you a little bit more information about that. He's going to be one of those helping distribute it, from what I understand. It's called God's Solution for America and the Nations of the World. And it is powerful. I've already started reading it, amongst the other things that we're reading, and it's truly a blessing. And you'll get a kick out of this. I got to be one of those, but President Geyer and former President Turner, myself, and Governor Carpenter wrote the forewords to it. And it was an honor and a privilege to do so and to be a part of this. It is power-packed. I'm going to tell you, it will bless you. Get a hold of it and add it to your collection. It gives you history. And, you know, Matt is one of the best at pulling historical documents up and quoting from it. John does well. We all need to be able to have a background and a foundation. And she has done a wonderful job of pulling this together. So please, get a copy, bless them, and be blessed as you do so. We do want to pray for some people particularly. And Jim Carpenter, I want you, first of all, we're going to pray for you. But at the same time, I want you to pray for Steve while he's still on the phone. You know, Steve, it's already, let me see, so it's 8:30 here. So that would make it, what's it, 11:30 where you are, Steve? I think you're 3 hours difference than us. Mr. Loopstra. Got yourself.
And myself. Yeah, it's 11:34 here.
Yeah, so he doesn't even get off these calls until midnight. And our prayer calls, we that Matt and John and Sharon and some others are on, we have people from around the world. We might be on at 4 in the morning, and they'll be at all time, you know, your different time zones all over the world. So it doesn't matter what time you are. What matters is doing what God tells you to do. And it's a blessing and a privilege to have Steve here. So, cuz Carpenter, I want you to pray for your cuz. I want you to pray for Steve and his bride and the mission down there and the work. And Steve, I want to tell you this. I've got, and this is for all of you that are involved in this side. I told Matt and John just prior to the call, I received 3 different phone calls today from 3 different groups about funds being set up to be released. So pray into it, believe for it, call upon them, decree and declare them that we're getting ready to go into that time of the great release and reset. The RV is not even in that group. That's just three that are separate from that that can make a difference for our nation and the nations. So be in prayer. And some of that will be going to many people in this group and ministry. Steve would be part of it. So, Governor Carpenter, if you pray for your cousin, and then I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to have some other people pray. And we're going to be praying for President Geiger and Turner and the different men and women that are involved. But while you're there, Jim, pray for Sandy and tell a little bit about her trial. Don't need to go into great depth, but what she's doing. And pray for her also.
Thank you, Wade. Let's address Sandy real quick. Lieutenant Colonel Mariki, former Air Force test pilot, set all kinds of world records for women test pilots, taught our fighter pilots to be fighter pilots, became physics and biophysics professor at Berkeley before she went back to the Air Force Academy, where she's been working with our youth in that arena. But during the COVID, they came upon her and demanded her to do illegal things and take the shot and so on and so forth, and she refused, and students came to her. They asked her for guidance on how what they should do, and she told them what their constitutional rights were, the lawful rights, and stood firm. And she's in the final throes of a major lawsuit against the military for these forced facts and what has done to her career. And there's a lot more to that story. There's not enough time tonight for all of it to be told, but she's quite a lady and a privilege to be a friend and associate of hers. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Abba, Father, we're so thankful that what a privilege to come to you. Thank you for your many blessings, but most of all, the shed blood, broken body of your Son that gave us death, hell, and a victory, the keys to death, hell, and the grave, the victory. And he said it was finished. I believe he meant what he said. The only thing that's not finished is us, because we're a growth in progress. And Lord, give us wisdom and discernment and guidance and the spirit of valor that it takes to live in these days and to do what you have predestined us to do. We thank you for my cousin Steve. What a privilege to have a man like him in our family and the many blessings that he's been and the many stars he'll have in his crown in days to come. But until then, Lord, continue to surround him with your warring angels and protect him and his wonderful wife and their families and keep them safe from harm. They're in a battle zone just like all of us are. A little different rules, a little different climate, but the author's still the same. And we thank you, Lord, for your covenant to us that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and that if we have the faith of a mustard seed to go forth and to do as you've called us to do, that you will protect us and set tables before us in the presence of our enemies and give us victory, and our heel will be on the head of the snake. We thank you for that covenant promise and what you've done in the past and what you're doing in the future for Steve and his wife and their ministry that glorify you. And we expect a great harvest. Thank you in advance for that. Pray for all the men and women involved in this effort to be light to a dark world. And we ask that you would just extend that same protection to them and their families. And give us the victory. We thank you, Lord, for the hours and the minds and the dedication and the belief that's gone ahead of what Wade speaks about in the form of being able to help bring healing to humanity after this crisis we've been through. And we certainly need your intervention there and wisdom and discernment. But we thank you for that opportunity to serve you, and that the funds are here, they're forthcoming, and we'll have them post-haste, and that we'll be able to get about the work is your servants to glorify the other than you. And we give you the praise and the glory, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Robert Zulaga, I've got a request for you, sir. Would you lift up President Geiger, former President Turner, in his new office now, and the leadership of the Republic, many of whom are on this call right now?
I'm sorry, will you say that again, Wade? I have a hard time here. I took you off the speaker, and I've got you on the mic here. Could you try it one more time?
Okay, would you pray for President Geiger, Tim Turner, the leadership of the Republic?
I can do that. That's very well. Good evening, Heavenly Father. We thank you as we come before you as a body of believers. We thank you, Lord, that you order our steps. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of President Geiger, Attorney General Tim Turner, all of the governors from several states, those in the Senate, those in the Congress, those who are in the leadership on the prayer call, Chaplain Wade Butler, all of those of you here who are so faithful to continue to gather together in prayer, to be constant faithful as we go through the birth, the labor pains, as we come into a time that you call us to, a time of an Esther time. Lord, I thank you for strength in the physical body. I speak life into Attorney General Turner's body. I thank you that you are restoring every part of his body from the 10 years and 8 months in jail. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, that you are faithful to multiply, to gather back the years that the devil has stolen. And we thank you for spring in his step, clarity in his mind, health in his body. We thank you for President Geiger and his health and his wife. We thank you, Lord, that through all of the attacks against this republic, you have been faithful. We thank you, Lord, I feel we're at the birth, we're at the nexus point with a new wave and a new surge of Americans who are thirsty to know the solution of what it takes for us to restore our republic, to re-inhabit our republic, to actually take back from that which the devil has stolen from us for years and years and years. Lord, the veil is being torn. We thank you that you continually expose the corporation, the globalists, those who plot evil, those who are have all sorts of agenda of death against the sons and daughters of God through the COVID vaccine, through the other forms of manipulation of pharmakia. And we say no. We say no. By the power of the living God, we resist this. We stand and occupy the territory you've given us. And we say we take it back. We take it back now, not just for ourselves, but for all those who are to follow, all those who are in the depths of delusion, in the depths of darkness. And we say, Lord, you are faithful. You are able to turn things turn them on a dime, turn them in the blink of an eye, to bring forth the kingdom that you purpose, the kingdom that you purpose for all of us. We don't know the time of the day for the final curtain, but we know this, Lord. You have prepared us for a work now. There's billions of souls who are called into your kingdom. We're part of that work. We say, here we are, Lord, send us. So I thank you, Lord, for the leadership of this republic. I thank you that you draw to us those who are able to expand this message through all forms of media, whether word of mouth, whether social media, whether whatever creative solutions, Lord, you want to spread the grass fire of this movement. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for all that you're doing and you have done in and through us. And I speak life and health to every member on this republic, all who are on this call, all those who will hear this call in a recording. And Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor that you are so constant. You are so loving. You are so desiring of each of us to come into a oneness and a communion in relationship with you. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Bruce and Linda, got a request. Michael Shuttlesworth, who is down with kidney stones, he's not been able to pass them. He does have a Rife machine, but we know that God can heal instantly. He can powder those stones and take the pain and misery out of his life. David Pimbleton, who's continually suffers from long COVID and from diabetes, his ministry partner, Elizabeth, who's suffering from back problems, and there's many others I know that's on this call that I do not know about a healing situation. So a general healing prayer in addition to Michael and David and Elizabeth.
I'm here. I was writing in tongues to keep up with you. Now, to interpret this, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that we serve a faithful God, faithful to your word, to complete it, Father. You said that you would perfect that which concerns each one of us before the day of your Son, Yeshua. Father, I thank you that perfect health is part of that perfection and completion. Father, Yeshua has already paid the price, Lord. The word says, Father, by his stripes we were healed. If we were healed, we are healed, Father God. So I speak to the bodies that have been brought before you tonight, Father God. Mike Shuttlesworth, David Templeton, Father God, Elizabeth, and all the others who might be undergoing physical and age-related situations or whatever the devil might be trying to throw against us. Father God, you have given us wisdom. You've given us discernment, Father God. There are natural things to do. Lord, when I had kidney stones, you had me fast for a week, and I passed them, Father God, as dust with no pain. There's things that we can do to cooperate with you, Father. Show us how to cooperate, Lord God, that the blood sugar levels would be made level, Father God. You've created our bodies with your DNA to function perfectly according to your divine blueprint. So, Father, thank you for godly wisdom. Thank you for natural wisdom and the things that we know to do them. Father, we thank you for Elizabeth, Lord. We speak to her back, even as Robert has done in the past. I thank you, Father, we loose the anointing of God upon Elizabeth's body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Father God. Just align that back right now in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Father, we set our hearts in agreement that your glory is being manifested and loosed upon her body. Father, we thank you that all those of us who are on the call, those who will hear the call, who have physical issues that might be coming upon us, Father God, be it COVID or whatever the latest disease is on the coming down the block, Father, it's under our feet in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We don't have to be subject to it. We are above and not beneath. Father God, we are above. Hallelujah. You said you would always cause us to triumph through Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, and always includes the health. So we thank you, Father God, for the physical healing. We thank you for the emotional healing. We thank you that stress has to loose us in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Father God, that you are in control. We can rest in you, Father God, and rest in the peace that passes understanding that is ours now in the mighty name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. And we give you the glory and the praise in his precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I want to lift up a few people here right now. You know, this ministry work could not be done without the contributions of so many of you that are writers, and anybody that has an article or the Lord's put it on somebody's heart to do one. I'm getting close. I need to have more articles in. Now, it's not that I don't have lots of material. Yeah, lots of material. But it's more important to have the work that God gives you. And if you have a word, I would love to be able to look at it. And, Tim, I know that you did some incredible things, but I've got 1 week to go. It's a week and a few days, actually, before the next one's going to be published. And it's so important to have what I call our homegrown prophetic words from everybody. And, you know, as you know, Matt and John are, you could all call them associate pastors, you can call them whatever, they're commissioned and are licensed and commissioned through this ministry to preach the gospel. And they've been an incredible help. And Father, I come before you and I lift up them. I lift up Sharon and Steve and all of us that are in the ministry side of it. You know, James Timothy Turner, what a ministry he had. He was forced into a prison ministry and God honored it. Many, many men and salvation came to many and miracles took place in those locations that he was incarcerated. Because your anointing was upon him and Bruce and Linda and all the work they've done. So, Lord, I lift each and every one of these up, Sharon, John, Matt, Steve, Bruce and Linda, James Timothy Turner, many of you that are in ministry. I know Mark Carroll is and Robert Zuloaga is and all of us are in ministry in one form or another. What a blessing it is. Martha, my cousin, is in ministry. So what a blessing. And there's new people coming into the Republic all the time. Governor Lyman Bishop's on tonight for the first time. It's a privilege and an honor. I lift them all up before thy throne of grace. I ask for an outpouring of thy glory and the light of thy glory. I release that glory unto them. Lord, you said that we were no longer to be reflections of your light, but we were to be your light. That means you shine through us like a beacon, like a lighthouse. And that's where we're called today. You said also in that time of prayer last week, that it was all about the journey. We were made whole. We were cleansed during the journey, and we choose the journey. It's up to us to choose the journey. And so often, it's not pleasant. So often, you go, I never thought I'd have gone that way. I never thought I would do what I've done. Steve may never have thought he was going to be a pastor in Brazil or throughout South America or been in the situations he's been in, or Martha going to different parts of the world in missions. All of us doing that which we believe we're called to do. Father, I lift us up before thy throne of grace and ask, even those that have been hidden away, David Pendleton and Elizabeth and the work in the courts of heaven that most people will never hear about, except for any books that David publishes, and I'm hoping to help him on some of those things. And all the many times Robert has brought men before thy throne of grace in men's ministry and families, how the effect it's had upon them. Lord, each and every person on this call, Mark Binder and his teaching and his work with the Republic, and Matthew Westridge, and he's a minister to those around him, John Underwood, how he goes to these conferences and brings back great reports and spreads the gospel. Lord, each and every one of us that are called into this field, I just thank you, and I speak it as a blessing upon them, an outpouring, an anointing. I decree and declare thy kingdom glory be upon them, and the light of your glory shine through them. If they don't reflect your glory, they become you, and your glory shining out through them, that they become light everywhere they go and everywhere they put their feet, and you would be glorified in it in Yeshua's name, and I thank you. You know, I was chuckling earlier when I asked Carpenter to pray for his cousin. And Martha and I kid around. Martha's father, she is, I've always considered Martha a talented, sweet, wonderful, beautiful lady. And then I found out she was actually a butler. I knew where it came from then. It's just our bloodlines. What can I tell you? But please bear with my humor. And that her father and I, from what I understand, from pictures she told me about, we look almost like brothers. And we never thought we were going to meet each other. She ended up marrying a good friend of mine, which was Vern King, which you all know about, Martha King. And the call that are on all of our lives, we have all waited a long time, many years for some people. I've been in the ministry 42 years now. And at different levels, done different things. And many of you have been that longer. Some are new, you know, but God is using you. If you'll just be willing to take the journey, take the process, seek discernment, seek the wisdom, pay attention. And this work here is to bring a prophetic word, because a lot of people, matter of fact, very few people are going to take the time to do what we do, to do the research. There are over, now it's been over 100 authors that have contributed to that calendar. And every day, God's adding new prophetic voices that are used. To give you an idea, John and I work on this, and others, my wife and Janet, and all of you that contribute, this next calendar, Adar 2, and I told John similar to this last month, right now, on the prophetic words that have come out, I have just under 1,000 pages to go through to get it down to 120. That I've got to do over next week. So I have to read all those articles, ask the Lord which ones go in and where they go, and edit them. And then we edit them 6 to 8 times to make sure that they all match. It's like reading a book rather than all these different authors. It looks like just another chapter in the book. And it's because of our love of the Lord and the call that he's given us to go do this. And it's helped change many people's lives. And this ministry, we don't try to build this up as a great church. He told me to train the bride in the republic that would come. Not that I forced, not that I coerced, not that I advertised to, that would come. So I thank you for being here and your faithfulness to all of you. And what a blessing you have been in my life and how we are growing. And it's going to be even more important with the insanity that is right before us. You can just imagine the enemy has tried for and been successful for centuries now to stop the release of God's kingdom. And the Lord says now is the time. The kingdom is being established. This is the kingdom age. We've been in the kingdom age now for about 3.5 years. It began, Passover Tabernacles, September 17. So it was going into it. Now we're in the kingdom age. It's about the kingdom. If you talk to Jim Gregory, myself, Matt, and John, those of us, Sharon, that are on a call 3 times a week, that is a pastor's call, a minister's call, and a prophetic call, what we talk about is the kingdom and dealing with the demonic forces that have tried to get a stronghold and strangle out the word going to the kingdom. So I want to encourage you all, be here next week. I'm going to do what I don't usually do. Invite your families, invite your wives, invite your husbands, and get a few people here. Sharon and April are going to bring a word. It's a hard word. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a hard word in what is going on, but at the same time, some people are going to go, my God, I can't believe that. It's how the enemy contorts, misrepresents, and uses words that are very common to us for worship for himself in some areas, and how our words, what we say, open the door to curses or blessings. It's up to us. Just like the angel said to me, it's not about the destination, that's assured. It's about the journey and what you do on that journey and the process of that journey that you choose. We heard tonight from Matt about the woman at the well. I have never read that, never heard that, and I'm totally blessed, and I can't wait to run into the other room and wake everybody up in the house to tell them about the woman at the well. I mean, I'm ecstatic about this. This is incredible. Why isn't that woman? That's probably one of the books that was taken out, probably one of the testimonies that was taken out of the Bible. What a powerful, incredible circumstance and situation where she gave up everything for the gospel. Most of us wouldn't do that. Okay? But at the same time, what are we willing to do? Are we willing to seek him with a whole heart, to press in, to ask for wisdom, ask for discernment, ask for revelation knowledge, that we could do his kingdom purposes, that we would fulfill our destinies? So I want to thank you all again. Matt, is there anything else you want to close with?
No, I think we're very good.
All right, John?
I think we're in a good spot as well.
All right. May the Lord watch over you and keep you. May he give you rest this night. May angels encamp round about your home. Cover yourself with the blood from the core of every cell outward. You know, I always teach that. Let it be from inside out, not outside in. You don't want to drive the enemy in. You want to drive them out. Your home, your family, yourself, everything you've got, your animals, your possessions. Now use the blood. He said we could use it. He gave us the authority and the position. Take your stand and it's time for the ecclesia to rise up. We're doing it in the Republic. We're also going to have to start doing it in our churches. I know that Jim Carpenter and I talk regularly about what's going on in his church. And I'll be honest with you, I've actually been booted out of a couple of denominations for taking a stand in the church. And you know what? Thank God I got booted out of those denominations, because I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't taken that stand and got the boot. Glory to God. Let the Lord lead you and be a light in the darkness. Blessings to all, and good night.